recent weeks, theatergoers in New York have been treated to a theatrical duo of tremendous power taking to stage. Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart are starring in a revival of Samuel Beckett's absurdist tour de force, Waiting for Godot. Night after night, they go on stage, they get into the roles, and it's Vladimir and Estragon. They keep waiting and waiting for Godot, who never seems to show up. This play has spoken to generations of theatergoers as it has puzzled generations of students, all trying to make sense of what was going on. But that's the power here, is that we're trying to get to a deeper existential reality. So, what are Estragon and Vladimir waiting for? Are they waiting for Godot, or are they waiting for something more, for something deeper, for something larger? As we ponder what these two fellows wait for, we might ask what it is that you and I are waiting for. Now, during this season of giving and getting, many in our community are waiting for the UPS truck. These brown vans coursing through the neighborhood, dropping off packages. Who wants to go down to 12A if I can have all the shopping come to me, many think. And sadly, for many people, that's all they're waiting for during this season, is the present they will receive or the present that they will generously give. But that's the extent of it. But my suspicion is, given that you are here, particularly on this snowy day, you are waiting for something more, for something bigger, for something with more impact. Maybe you're waiting for some answers. Maybe you're waiting for some comfort. Maybe you are waiting for someone to just clean up this mess, whatever this mess might be. It might be a relationship, it might be a situation at work, it might be a problem at church, it might be politics. But surely, if we wait long enough, somebody will come and clean up the mess. Not so fast, says the author of Psalm 146. Now, let me give you a little context here. Based on the language and the style, today's reading appears to have been written in the post-exilic period. That means the northern kingdom of Israel, gone, wiped off the face of the earth. The people of Judah have already been deported from their homeland. The temple laid in ruins. The Davidic monarchy, now part of history. So the psalmist has some experience of disappointment. And in verses that are not included in the lectionary, offers a juxtaposition that is well worth holding. So listen. The psalm begins, praise the Lord, O my soul. So we have an exhortation. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God in all my life long. And the exhortation is followed by a commitment. Think about what the psalmist is saying. That the God he worships and knows is so powerful and wonderful, he will dedicate his life to his worship. And this exhortation is then followed by an admonition. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. That king, that president, that celebrity, that minister, that whomever you placed all of your hopes and dreams in, guess what? He or she has an expiration date. We were reminded of this just this past week as we saw the funeral service for Nelson Mandela, one of the great towering figures of the 20th century. And while his example can continue to inspire people going into the future, he's gone. He will not be leading anybody. So who then is worthy of our trust and our hopes and our dreams? Well, the psalmist tells us. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. And who is this God? Well, he is the one who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. So, here we have God, who has created the universe and everything in it, all powerful, able to do anything. And who does he care about? The poor, the weak, the ones who don't have any connections, the people outside in the cold, the ones society all too often ignores and shuns. Who is this God? This is the God who keeps faith forever. That's his agenda. God is with us forever. The psalmist is saying this in the wake of all that has happened to Israel. God is faithful. So, who is the Lord? What does he do? Listen closely. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. This is the Lord. This is the one we are waiting for during this Advent season. The Lord, we are told, will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. This is the God we call Emmanuel. This is the one who is incarnate, who comes to us at Christmas. This is the one we are waiting for. When we think about all of the things the Lord does, it's no surprise that we need time to prepare ourselves. Here is a God so big and yet so loving, so powerful, yet so caring, breaking into our world with a new agenda. One that calls for healing and hope and restoration. One that is grounded in faithfulness. Now, as I pondered this assertion, God is faithful, a request from a member of our congregation rattled around my head. One of our parishioners said, "Steve, I want more Max." Now, if you were here a few weeks ago, you may recall I preached on the binding of Isaac, and I talked about a stained window and about one of the gentlemen who worshiped at the New Milford Jewish Center, Max Van Dam. Max went through the worst that life could offer. Max survived the Holocaust. And Max's faith in God endured. Through everything he experienced, he still knew that God was faithful. I thank God I have never experienced anything like what Max had to go through. But that doesn't mean I haven't had my moments in life when I've wanted to wonder, just what is going on, God? Where are you? And yet it is through my exposure to people like Max that I ultimately know that even as I ask these questions, God is there listening, because God is faithful and God is present and God is walking with me, just as God is surely walking with you. Max knew that the Lord is faithful, just as the psalmist knew the Lord is faithful. Estragon and Vladimir are still on stage waiting for Godot. And I hate to break the bad news to him, but he's not showing up. But I have good news for you. And that is that the one we are waiting for, God, the God of Israel, the God of our church, the God who comes in the form of a little baby, the God who gives everything so that we may experience new life, is coming. And guess what? He has come already. He is here, working in us and with us and through us. No wonder the psalmist then declares, "Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, O my soul!" The God who is coming is one who warrants this kind of celebratory declaration. My hope and my prayer is that we will join the psalmist in saying with gusto and hope and conviction, "Praise the Lord."